This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Jennifer Graham, thank you so much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. Hope everyone had an absolutely fantastic Thanksgiving. If you were out and about yesterday on Black Friday, hope you survived it. And I guess we get set now for Cyber Monday. And Sean Bellent is with us remotely, and sometimes Sean is kind of like the old school Where's Waldo. You never know where he might be, but you know he's somewhere doing something. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, hello there.
Sean,
how are you, my...
Hey, I'm doing good. For the first time, 40 years old, for the first time in my life, I finally ate the exact right amount of food on Thanksgiving. Perfect.
You know, that is a long, hard road to get there. But, you know, you got there, and that is a great achievement.
There's just so many options. You know, I try to take reasonable spoonfuls of everything. And by the time I do that, I've got like a three-layer dish going on. The first time, because I used to have to work Thursday nights when I first started at the station. I was a Wednesday night, Thursday night guy and had day shifts the rest of the week, blah, blah, blah. So I always had to work Thanksgiving night. The first year that I did not have to work Thanksgiving night, I literally ate so much that I went to the couch, didn't move the entire day, and didn't eat for 2 days after. I overdid it just a skosh.
You know, Thanksgiving's kind of weird for me because there's no female influence. Because you know, I think, women like to put on a good show. A lot of women, not every woman is going to be the person who wants to be known as the person who puts on the party, what have you. But you know, guys are just kind of like, assembly line. There you go. Here's your turkey. Here's your stuffing,
My mom passed,
it definitely was different.
Yes. On Thanksgiving, though, Sean, I always think of Terry Tote because he wasn't a turkey man. They would always have the Tote lasagna on their Thanksgiving celebration.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, the Tote lasagna, the famed Tote lasagna.
I figured there'd be a compromise like turkey lasagna, but I get it.
Yeah, I guess that's John Madden's thing.
So you know, the things he's done, I mean, to turkey rights are unspeakable.
Well, the turducken rights, yes. So, Sean, we are just a couple weeks out, believe it or not, from the T-Tote shootout versus cancer. It'll be in Nokomis this year, Saturday, December 11th. 8 games starting at 9:30, 5 boys games, 3 girls games, and all the money goes to the Montgomery County Cancer Association. There'll be all sorts of stuff going on throughout the day, and we just hope to see you out in Nokomis and support this great cause. Terry, basketball, I mean, he was a soccer guy, but he loved high school basketball unlike anything else, and he loved these shootouts where it was one location, a day of hoops, and, you know, Sean, you're not going to get better bang for your buck because you pay once, get your hand stamped, and then you're good to go the rest of the day. You can come in and out, go around, do different things, and just pop in throughout the day at Nokomis. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the schedule, which you can see at WSMIRadio.com, we'll run it down here as the show goes on. But it's what the tournament or what the shootout would have been last year if not for COVID.
I'll tell you, what a great event. And, you know, to me, the event is greater because he was a part of the first one.
Yeah, that's right.
He wasn't there and like, oh, here's Terry, and he waves his hand. He goes out there to midcourt and has that Terry Tote-like speech where, you know, again, it's not about me. And that's the reason why, you know, when I went to the service there over at Lincolnwood, why I was just blown away by all of the holiday cards, all the Christmas cards he got over the years. I mean, it was just such a powerful speech of dignity, and I just feel like he really laid his DNA into this event, and it continues to live on.
It was his dream, and I use that seriously, not literally, to have a WSMI shootout. He always wanted it, and just, you know, a lot of logistics, a lot of things go in to big events like this. And unfortunately, what it took to get it off the ground was his cancer diagnosis. But you are 100% right. The fact that he was at the first one. I know it was special to him. I know it was special to Brenda. And, you know, he went out and threw up the ceremonial jump ball for the final game. And it was just fantastic. And again, all the money goes to the Montgomery County Cancer Association. And that was an organization near and dear to Terry's heart. And, you know, Sean, he was such a community based guy. And he touched so many different people. And, you know, you were speaking about the first shootout. You were not working at WSMI at the time of the first shootout, but you reached out and wanted to be a part of the event just because of what Terry had meant to you over the years. And that is just one of, I'm sure, thousands of stories along similar lines when you talk about Terry Tote.
Yeah, radio guy is radio guy. You know, and I spoke to him once about, you know, possibly doing football at the Ox, Edwardsville games at the time. And so that was my one meeting with him. But, yeah, you talk about a guy synonymous with the station. But I only knew the radio end. Mm-hmm. And during that whole process, finding out what he did in Raymond and the tireless stuff, I'm thinking, like, were there like identical triplets and they all just claimed to be Terry Tote? I mean, how did the guy do all this stuff?
Well, he didn't sleep much. He was always up, always moving. And yeah, he did the park at Raymond. He was so invested in that. And anything panhandle related, he was all in. All in. And miss him every day. Just flat out miss him every day. But this event, it's near and dear to my heart. The T-Tote shootout versus cancer. And Sean, here's the rundown. And you know, with these shootouts, you always try to balance it, right? Like, you try to keep it in the spirit of Terry. And Terry was all just as much about girls basketball as he was boys basketball. I mean, he was in on girls basketball early in the 80s before it was really a thing. You know, he probably helped give a little bit of legitimate credence to him. I mean, he was putting girls hoops on the radio in the early 80s when it just wasn't a thing. And, you know, some of his most iconic moments are courtesy of girls basketball and those Nokomis back-to-back state championships.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's neat. And, you know, really, that's what girls basketball needed to be propped up by individuals to say, you know what, this is more than just a, we're going to mail it in, we're going to meet Title IX, but I think it's just such a, it's been such a great thing, athletics for girls. You know, you get multifaceted self-esteem, and it's just, I think it's just been a fantastic thing, a competitive outlet. And, you know, it's, I always say this about the girls/women's game. You know, I think it, you know, to stand up and be proud, and, you know, we have this unique sportsmanship and camaraderie and energy and atmosphere, and I think they've got something to sell. And sometimes, you know, it's like, well, why aren't you watching watching the NCAA Final Four and women's Final Four? It's like, you know, sometimes you just got to say, you know what, we've got a great game. And sometimes when somebody like Terry steps forward, and people start to notice, it's just a big stamp of approval to have folks who are invested in the game, regardless of gender, really take it forward.
And we've been blessed with great girls basketball in our WSMI listening area. Think about the Litchfield girls in the 80s, of course. Nokomis won back-to-back state championships in the late 90s. The Hillsborough girls won the state championship. You think about the Abby Brockmeyer era with Litchfield. We have just been really blessed. And, you know, the Southwestern girls, that long extended run of success under Steve Woolley. And it'll be Southwestern who tips off the T-Tote shootout. They'll be taking on Williamsville in girls play at 9:30. And, of course, remember, this was the schedule that we were going to have last year before COVID. And we know that Southwestern, they had a powerful squad a couple years ago. They're in a little bit of a rebuild mode right now, is just girls basketball across the area struggling with numbers at a number of schools, Sean, really a number of schools you wouldn't expect to struggle with numbers find themselves struggling this year. Southwestern is in that boat. They'll take on Williamsville at 9:30. And then at 11, we got the Route 16 rivalry here, girls edition, Hillsborough and Litchfield. And Sean, it's, we always say when Hillsborough and Litchfield play, You just toss the records out. The records are meaningless when the Toppers and Purple Panthers get together.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's like Illinois and Northwestern in football, yes. Or for folks out on the western edge, Missouri and Kansas, whatever the case may be. Yeah, it's one of those feuds.
Uncle Ralph used to talk about back in his day sneaking in on horseback under the cover of darkness and stealing all the girls out of Litchfield. So then at 12:30, the Hillsboro boys, and we'll be talking to Kyle McBrain coming up here later in the program, they are bringing everybody back from that squad in the spring, and they've added the Stewart brothers from Litchfield as well. So big things on the horizon here for Hillsboro. They're going to take on Athens. That'll be Hillsboro Athens boys at 12:30, so that's the third game of the day. That'll be followed up by the Carthenville Tri-City boys matchup at 2. And then at 3:30, Lincolnwood and Litchfield will play. And, Sean, this is a annual traditional matchup here, as Lincolnwood and Litchfield have played in the T-Tote shootout here all 3 years now.
Ah, oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's always a great matchup. And, you know, it's great to have, I think it just adds the energy to the start of the season. I mean, there are just things you get to do with high school basketball. You know, as excited as people get about high school football, you don't have these kind of gatherings. You don't have three games on the same day. And it's just a unique way. And it just kind of, you know, gets you through that little rut of the late fall and the leaves are gone and it's getting colder. I mean, it's really, it almost like boosts the temperature in the area.
That's right.
5 or 10 degrees.
It's a good pick-me-up for sure. So
Amen.
The Lincolnwood-Litchfield boys at 3:30. Then at 5 o'clock in girls' action, Nokomis will take on Greenville. This should be a very nice ball game. Nokomis has a strong squad this year. And then, Sean, at 6:30 now, we jump up a couple of classes. Centralia and Effingham. That is the 6:30 boys game at the Tito Shootout, Centralia and Effingham.
Classic. That is that's a beautiful thing to have. You don't get more iconic than the Orphans coming out of Centralia, and then what a big seal of approval for Effingham to make the long haul here.
And I like the idea of giving our fans in our neck of the woods an opportunity to see some bigger schools from outside the area, right? Just kind of, it's a different type of matchup. It'll be a different type of style. Should be a fun ball game there. That's Centralia and Effingham at 6:30. Then the nightcap, speaking of fun and entertaining, how about Nokomis and Madison? How's that do it for you as the nightcap at 8 o'clock? How's that work out?
Oh, that's a beauty. I mean, I think this is perfect. You get the best of local and you get the right, the recipe's perfect and just the right dash of, some pretty powerful teams, not in the immediate area, but close.
So that is Saturday, December 11th, 2 weeks away, the third T-Tote shootout versus Cancer. And, Sean, mad props to Nokomis here. As we had, it was set to be at Hillsboro, but, there was lots of different moving things, and we didn't know what the future held, so we had to make a decision, and Nokomis was able to step up. Nokomis and Hillsboro switching hosting years, but hats off to Kevin Reedy and everyone at Nokomis. I mean, when you put an event on like this and then at the last moment you get thrust in to this role, he did just a fantastic job, and thanks to Kevin and all the folks at Nokomis.
Oh, yeah, outstanding. They always put on a good show, and they're always a great host.
Going to be a fun day. We hope to see you out at Nokomis, Saturday, December 11th, for the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer. Again, all the money goes to the Montgomery County Cancer Association. And you can get your shirts now, by the way, ttoteshootout.itemorder.com. ttoteshootout.itemorder.com. T-shirts and hoodies. Black's the only color because, Sean, like everything else, just don't have the availability of the normal supply. So black T-shirts, black hoodies, and you can pick these up at Nokomis on the day of the shootout. So that is a nice change from the previous couple of years. If you want to have it shipped to your home, you certainly can, but remember, shipping rates will apply there. The store, courtesy of our friends at the Cubby Hole in Carthenville, will be open until December 1st. Again, the address, ttoteshootout.itemorder.com, and I'm sure if you go to the Cubby Hole website, they've got a link on there as well. But Sean,
it's called the Johnny Cash year.
There you go. Hola, mi amo, Johnny Cash. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Hillsborough boys basketball coach Kyle McBrain. We're going to talk with Nokomis boys basketball coach Dan DeWerf, and Carlinville basketball coach David Suits is on the way as well when Sports Saturday continues.
922 right here on FM 106. Some of our Sports Saturday sponsors include Kurtz 24-Hour Towing in Litchfield. Call 324-2400. Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farm. And once again, here's WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Valent.
Much, and we've got Fighting Illini football coming up this afternoon, the season finale hosting Northwestern, live with the pregame at 1:30 on 105.3 The Ox. And if Illinois were to win and not enough teams get to 6 wins, Sean, they would be bowl eligible, which therein lies the problem with the bowl system. As if Illinois winds up in a bowl at 5-7, I guess congratulations.
You know, that's like asking a pretty girl out to the prom and wearing sweatpants. That just shouldn't be.
That's a fantastic analogy.
I don't
analogy.
Care what benefits there are. You know, that's really when you should have your LBJ moment. If I am nominated for a bowl, I will not accept it.
Yes.
Have that kind of speech like when he said, I'm not running.
And you know,
you can't draft me. You can't put me in.
Some teams aren't, or certain players on teams are passing up on those lower level bowls because it's just not worth it if they have a future in the NFL. But we'll see. First, they got to beat Northwestern, which I think they have a 6-game losing streak against the Cats. So 1:30 today with the coverage on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. So at the Kaskaskia Classic today, this is one of those great early season tournaments here. Hillsborough will play Woodlawn at 3. Nokomis is going to play Greenville at 6. In between, Pinckneyville will take on Oakville, and then Carlisle will play Flora down there. But Sean, we'll be catching up with Dan DeWerf here momentarily as well. But that's a little bit of a change for Nokomis. They've always started in the Stovetop Stuffing Classic before, but they've switched, and they are now into the Kaskaskia Classic in Carlisle. So we'll talk with Dan DeWerf about that momentarily. But the Hillsborough Hilltoppers have been going down to Carlisle for a number of years for this early season tournament. Kyle McBrain has not been going down with them, of course, as he is in his first year as the head coach for the Toppers. And Kyle joins us on the phone right now. Good morning. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Hey, we're fantastic. And I guess just how has it gone here early? You've got a game under your belt, but how's it feel to be coaching your alma mater?
Oh man, it's been awesome. It's kind of surreal to be, you know, being able to practice in the big gym there in Hillsborough and just kind of get to know the boys. And so far, it's been great. First game was a little rocky, but I think it's a game we're going to learn from and kind of just get this thing rolling.
Well, the stats just break down pretty evenly, but you know, Rochester, people forget, it was a pretty good program before they all of a sudden decided, let's win a bunch of state titles in football. That's one of those things, unlike any other sport, you can play evenly, but guys one side can just shoot out the lights in three-point country, and it looks like that's what happened.
Yeah, they were able to hit some shots from outside, and quite frankly, we didn't shoot that great, especially in the first half. I think we were 1-for-10 from the three-point line, which is something I don't think we're going to do a whole lot of this year.
No.
We really have some good shooters, but you know, one of those games where kind of came down to last possession a couple times, and we weren't able to capitalize. But it's nice to have some film now and what we need to work on, so we kind of go from there.
And, you know, I think Jeff Van Gundy, he'll say in the NBA, it's a make-or-miss league. And, you know, high school basketball is really no different. You got to play defense. But if the shots aren't going, it becomes hard to win. It just does.
Yeah, and we, you know, I was proud of our guys for battling the way we did. And we were kind of able to keep it close and finally started making a few shots. And really, I think we kind of settled early on from outside a little bit, and then we started working inside, and we don't have the biggest post players, but Gavin and Blaze do a heck of a job down there. So we've got to do a good job of kind of working from inside out and not shooting threes where the defense is set up. So I think, like I said, that's a game we're all going to learn from. And I may be the one learning the most about, you know, what we've got and our rotations and that sort of thing. So it's a learning experience. You like to be able to squeak out a win and then learn from it.
Right.
But unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Boy, yeah, and look at those rebound numbers and second chance points, et cetera, et cetera. Sounded like it was a real war in the paint.
Oh, it was a physical game. They did a good job of crashing the offensive boards, and that's something we've definitely worked on the last couple practices here, is kind of getting a butt on somebody and making sure we can finish defensive possessions. I really thought we had maybe four or five possessions where we're defending for, you know, 15, 20 hard seconds, and then when the shot went up, we kind of froze and they crashed and finished. So again, little things to clean up, but overall, I was impressed the way we continued to battle.
And yeah, just topper tough, if you will. And Kyle, we know that you have so much talent coming back from that COVID season, but then you add the Stewart brothers from Litchfield. Just kind of talk about kind of getting them worked into a group that had already played a lot of basketball together.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing we're trying to figure out right now is, you know, kind of who's going to be the first guy off the bench and who's going to be that even that fifth starter. We're kind of toying around with that. So, yeah, you take a couple talented guys, and that's definitely awesome. But you do have to figure out, you know, what everybody's strength is and who plays the best together and what kind of spots to put them in.
Yeah, I guess this is a game that's more guard dominated than 20 years ago, and it's just nice to have some guys. You know, a lot of guys are on the same height. I just think versatility, and you know, guys don't know if someone's going to bring forward principles as they move toward the bucket or guard principles.
Oh, no doubt about it. We've got some guards, but we also have some big guys that don't mind handling the ball. So, yeah, it's definitely right now it's a process of figuring out how to best utilize them. And you don't really, you can practice that stuff and that sort of thing. But once you get into the game, you know, who's going to do what. So big learning experience, not only for the boys, but the coaching staff as well.
And I'm just glad Gavin Matush is playing. And I know he played soccer in the fall, but I was there last year and he had just a nasty looking leg injury. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, he's going to be out for his entire senior season. But it wound up, obviously, it wasn't that big of a deal because came back, played in the fall, and he's good to go now. But with him and Helton on the inside, you mentioned it, they might not be tall, but those dudes play with the mentality of someone who's like 7'2", 260.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. You know, you look at Blaze might have to guard somebody that's, you know, 6'4 this year, but he is a horse. I mean, I've even got in drills and just kind of worked with him just a little bit, and I'm afraid he's going to knock me on my butt every time. So, no, he's a bulldozer, and Gavin has, I mean, he's in great shape, and he's a strong kid as well. So, yeah, they definitely play bigger than their height. That's definitely for sure.
Well, I know it's a weird phenomenon. The last thing you think about is carrying over, and if you didn't win a state title, carrying over a winning streak from the year before, another gift not so much from COVID. But I know it's never a positive to lose, but I have to think, you know, getting that whole we're going to go on a winning streak to add to the 14, just being able to just reset, focus on basketball and improving what you do and not a streak or the kind of stuff that might excite other people, I guess in a way could be a good thing.
Yeah, like I said, I'd definitely rather win and learn our lessons than take a close defeat. But, you know, it is one of those things, and I even kind of mentioned it after the game on Tuesday. I was like, well, we can get rid of all that undefeated talk and just kind of get back to playing. So I think, you know, we learned a lot about what happened in that game, and we really, you know, it always comes down to the little things, boxing out and finishing possessions and just knocking down some shots and looking for good shots and not just forcing up the first available and that sort of thing. So, yep, I think if we have to take a close defeat for that to sink in, then maybe it was meant to be.
Kyle, I'll get you out of here on this. This Kaskaskia Classic, this is a fantastic early season event. You've got Woodlawn today, but Pinckneyville's down there, Okaville's down there, Nokomis is down there this year along with Greenville. This is one of those events. This is a great thing to have right out of the gate.
Oh, no doubt about it. We're definitely going to get challenged down there, that's for sure. From what I've heard, Woodlawn might be a little down, but I mean, how many times have they made it to the state tournament
right
in the last few years? So you know you're gonna get everybody's best shot down there for sure. So it'll be a good test for us, and hopefully we're able to kind of take what we did in that first game and improve and go down there and compete. So we're really looking forward to it. Like you said, there's some great teams down there, and we'll play Woodlawn, Flora, and then Carlisle, and then whoever we play next Saturday in the crossover game. So it'll be a good test for us, and hopefully we can continue to learn a little bit about our team and kind of get ready for the conference season.
Hey, Kyle, I have no idea what your record will be, but I know one thing. Nobody on Top Runner is going to think, oh, I'm glad we're playing Hillsborough tonight. That'll help us get well. You guys are going to be a tough night for every single buddy you play, and we look forward to following you throughout the year. Thanks for a few minutes this morning, sir.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me. Enjoy your day.
All right, that's Kyle McBrain, the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers. And Sean, I think you hit it. I think you are exactly right, though, to not have the undefeated talk still going. Not the worst thing for Hillsborough. Obviously, you want to win every game you play. But not the worst thing.
Yeah, you get people that, you know, it's that time of year where you really have to work on your craft, so to speak, and getting caught up in the hype and the hoopla, and you're just focusing on the final score. I mean, it really is. It's like you're trying to get the machine working, you know, in top gear, and instead of worrying about the abstract, superficial things. I mean, you're trying to get yourself in mid-season form as soon as possible, and then, you know, getting yourself in postseason form. So, yeah, wins, I mean, are important, but I think getting everybody to work on the same page, I think that's the key.
Well, and we got postseason now, so it's all about peaking the end of February, first part of March. That there wasn't that concern in the spring. That's what it's all about now, playing your best hoops coming in to the month of February. So Hillsborough takes on Woodlawn at 3 today. Nokomis going to play Greenville. The Skins have already beaten Greenville once this year, but they will play again today at 6 in the Kaskaskia Classic. We will take a break. When we come back, we will talk it over with Nokomis head coach Dan DeWerf when Sports Saturday continues.
9:37 right here on FM 106. Once again, Sports Saturday sponsors are Mark Sterin, your State and Farm agent in Litchfield, Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, Prairie Town Feed Service, they're serious about their service, and Garrell's Auto Body and Repair. See Dwayne Garrell doing it right since 1982. Once again, here's WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Valent.
Thank you, Jennifer. You know, Tuesday night was down at Mike Shannon's. Prairie Town Feed had a nice seed appreciation dinner down there. Got a delicious filet. It was fantastic from down there at Shannon's in Edwardsville. But, Sean, I saw something that blew my mind. You know, I talked about how this was the first time in my life I've never overstuffed myself on Thanksgiving. The new generation is just full of wild and crazy ideas. Skylar Strohmeyer was eating a baked potato like a taco. Like a taco. He got all the ingredients in there just like you normally would and then folded it up and ate it like a taco. No mess, no kerfuffle. It was fantastic. I had never even considered such a thing, but I believe that might be the most efficient way to eat a baked potato.
I think you're on to something. You know,
Skylar Strohmeyer, he did it.
They say it's a mother of invention. I don't think there's any necessity. This is just, This is a classic menu audible.
That's exactly right. I don't know what the generation name is for like kids who are 18, but that generation's on top of it. They got it. I've been using a knife and a fork like some sort of savage my whole life.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. You know, the whole Gen Y, Gen X, Gen this. And there are certain people who will, it's almost like, you know, Bart Simpson is still in the fourth grade or whatever grade he's in for like all these years. Well, there are people who will continue to say, anyone 18 to 23 is a millennial.
Right, yeah, just it never changes. Oh. I know who's not a millennial. Nacoma's head basketball coach, Dan Dorf. I have no idea. I don't keep track of generations, but I know that he's not a millennial. But we're happy he's on the phone with us here this morning. And, Coach, you know, I know this is your second year, but it feels like your first year because we got tournaments.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to have a full slate of games this year. And you know, we're getting to play in tournaments and, you know, there's a postseason. So, you know, it feels a lot more normal, you know, just so far this year than it did any time last year.
And a couple different scheduling notes here for Nokomis. We knew you were getting out of the Stovetop Stuffing Classic a couple years ago. You're into the Kaskaskia Classic. That's a fantastic thing. And you're in a Christmas tournament this year down in Vandalia. I guess just start there. Talk about that. That is a big change for Nokomis.
Yeah, I mean, I know firsthand, and then, you know, coaching against as well, coach, you know, preferred not to get in a Christmas tournament. It was always a time that, you know, he used to, kind of prepare for the second half of the season. I think anybody who played for him can always recount, some of the Christmas practices mm-hmm. that we had, you know, they were, you know, pretty tough. But
no, Dan, he swears that he didn't turn the heat up in the gym. Said the practices are hard, but the myths of the heat going up, he says, are not true.
Yeah, I don't know about the heat. I know the intensity got turned up pretty well, though. But that was always kind of his, you know, his way of doing it. And obviously it worked very well. But when the Morrisonville tournament, It you know, kind of closed up.
Right.
You know, we had to get into another one. And Vandalia, I know, is something that we were in back in the early 80s, back into the 70s. So, you know, it's close to here, close to Nokomis, and you're going to find good competition. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, just a great start to the season. That contest with Greenville, a good warm-up, certainly a team that, you know, brings some challenges. But, boy, it looks like you played your game, and everybody, you know, again, you talk about prepping for a season. This looked like a team that was playing beyond game number one.
Yeah, I mean, we did some good things. Obviously, the first game, you know, you're not going to be where you want to be. But Greenville always been tough, and you know, they gave us definitely a good run. The score is closer to them 50-34. I mean, you know, there's a few things that that maybe didn't go their way in terms of some shots around the basket, that, you know, I'm not gonna be surprised if they're gonna be hitting tonight when we play them. But it was good competition. It was intense, and you know, I think we found out where we were at, whereas if you might have played someone who may not have been as stiff a competition, you kind of get a false sense of maybe how good you are. And we definitely got an idea of what we need to work on going into playing them again tonight.
Certainly different to play the same team back-to-back like that.
Yeah. How that kind of came about, I don't know. you know, I mentioned that was a team, you know, when we were looking to schedule that, you know, we would like to get on our non-conference schedule. And that just so happened to be the date that we were both available. Mm-hmm. And then we got thrown into the same pool at Carlisle. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I think, you know, I told the boys it doesn't matter who we play. Last year at this time we weren't playing at all. So get out there, play, and do what we do.
Well, the transitional game was really something. I mean, guys are fighting for the basketball, putting pressure. It didn't look like it was fun to be a Comet point guard this week.
No. I mean, when we did play them on Tuesday, it was definitely physical. You know, there was a lot of, maybe some guys going to get out of shape a little bit too. It gets a little bit even more physical. They start using their hands rather than their feet. It was sloppy at times, but then at other times, we looked all right. So hopefully we take that next step forward. You always want to get better from game to game, and hopefully we can do that tonight.
And then Elijah Allman filled it up in that first game, and I would imagine you expect that to kind of be a fairly regular occurrence. I guess the question off that would be, who will be that second and third scoring option to where it could really be the difference as you move forward?
You know, he had 27, I believe, on Tuesday. I don't expect him to have to make, or score 27 points for us to win every night. Mm-hmm. He did a great job of finding himself, opportunities to get good looks. You know, he worked pretty hard off the ball and drove the ball to the basket pretty strong and finished around the rim too. I think Cooper Berlino, he's going to be able to provide some scoring. Ryan Eisenbarth, I think last year, in our last five or six games, he was our leading scorer four out of those last six. And then Jake Johnson too. Jake has the ability to put in, 10 to 15 points a game too. So I don't think we're going to have to rely on Elijah to score that much every night. It just so happened to be Tuesday night. You know, he was able to get open and finish, and he put in 27. So all those guys, I think, are capable of giving us anywhere from 10 to 20 points a night.
But then you mentioned Jake Johnson. He is on the short list of my favorite dudes to watch, because this man, he just competes. He don't care who's against him. It doesn't matter. He's going to leave every single ounce out there for you.
Yeah. He goes 110%, doesn't matter if it's a game or practice. We just got done with a shoot-around. He's ready to play. And that's great, from a coaching perspective, because of, obviously he's a senior, he's a captain, that rubs off on everyone else. And, when he's doing that, no one else can really say anything or have an excuse, because when your senior captain is putting forth that effort, the expectation is that you're going to too. And, any team that I've coached where we've had seniors, and Cooper does too, that work hard, it rubs off on the rest of the team, and that's something that we've been lucky to have, especially here at Nokomis. I mean, that has a lot to do with Coach Kimbrough and the culture he put in place. But I think he'd tell you the same thing.
Gosh, you talk about experience, and I look at the numbers, shooting 42% from the floor. That's a pretty good opening number. Good shot selection. I've only seen like a fraction of the game, but it just seems like basketball IQ, basketball smarts are on display as well as technique.
I think we kind of know what we are. We only had 12 turnovers. That's what we had ourselves down for, which is a number that I'd be happy with if we stuck in and around there all year. Knowing when to attack and knowing when to run offense. We're not going to be an up-and-down team, every single possession. But if we have opportunities, we look to get out and transition, especially after forcing a turnover. So, we kind of feel it out a little bit. The opponent depends on it on how we play too. But you know, offensive execution is something that obviously we emphasize and taking care of the ball. You know, we preach turnovers equal easy baskets for the opposition, and we try to do as good as we can of making sure we don't turn it over.
Dan DeWerff, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck today against Greenville Part 2.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, that is Dan DeWerff, the head boys basketball coach at Nokomis. And, Sean, sometimes the guy who has to follow the Hall of Fame guy has some problems. Dan DeWerff, he ain't going to have those problems. When you can hear it in his voice that he knows exactly what needs to be done with the Nokomis program.
I'm telling you, I don't think there's a panic button in the place. It just steady course to success.
And that, you know, that is kind of a weird thing if they play Greenville again down in Carlisle this time. So they got a longer trip to go play the Comets this time.
No kidding. Yeah, I'll tell you. And
if this was a 4A regional, they would play it at one of those schools.
Yeah, that is wild. That is I thought it was a misprint when I first looked at it. Greenville at Greenville. Okay. Familiar, you know, it's like hockey, a home and home series.
That's exactly right.
And important note, if you've never been to Carlisle High, do not show up at tip off time and think you'll find a seat.
Ain't going to happen.
Real estate is precious there.
Hey, we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Carthenville boys basketball coach David Suits when Sports Saturday rolls on.
9:54 right here on FM 106 WSMI. Once again, thanks to these sponsors so we can have your Sports Saturday right here on WSMI. They include Girls Auto Body and Repair. See Dwayne Girl doing it right since 1982. Woods Basement Systems. Litchfield National Bank, the friendly bank with 3 locations to serve you. Montgomery Nursing and Rehab in Taylor Springs. And Mike Belovich, your REMAX agent in Macoupin in Montgomery County. Once again, WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Valent.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. You can get your shirts or hoodies for the T-Toad Shootout versus Cancer right now, courtesy of the Cubbyhole in Carthenville. Go to ttoteshootout.itemorder.com. That is the link to get your shirt. I'm sure you can go to the Cubbyhole website as well. The link will be there. But ttoteshootout.itemorder.com. All the proceeds from those sales will go to the Montgomery County Cancer Association. You can pick your shirt up the day of the shootout at Nokomis. If you would like to get it shipped to your house, certainly you can, but the shipping rates will apply. The store will close midnight, December 1st. So again, ttoteshootout.itemorder.com. The T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer set for Saturday, December 11th, 2 weeks from today. And I guess 2 weeks from now, Sean, we will probably be nearing halftime of game number one.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's indeed here, and looking forward to that. That is going to be so much fun. I mean, the energy. I mean, it's got all of the you know, the great stuff of any modern day basketball shootout or event. But boy, you add the hospitality room, and then the hospitality room atmosphere for the public. You know, I think that's one of the things. You know, the media, we get these warm fuzzies, the guys who call the games, the officials, and it's kind of like almost that insider hospitality room. And then there's that atmosphere where everybody gets to be a part of that hospitality room. Yeah. The homegrown food, the food made with a little TLC for the cause, and man, looking forward to it.
Hope to see you out in Nokomis Saturday, December 11th for the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer. We are running behind schedule, and Sean, if we played for David Suits and we were this late, he would have us on the line running suicides, no doubt about it. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing all right. Punctuality matters. I mean, if you tell your players to be there at a certain time and they're not there at a certain time, you got to do something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
David, how's it been going here early in the season for you guys as you get set to roll?
It's been going all right. A little strange start to the season, but you know, it's fun to be back in the gym and feeling like a normal season again. So we're excited about that. And, you know, just it's nice, just like I said, getting back in the gym and went and scouted a little bit for the first time. And it's just fun to see fans, see people back in the gyms and enjoying basketball. So that's a big plus in my book.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's exciting. And, you know, I look at the building up the interest, or I guess building the energy. You can't say enough about the basketball boosters. They've been hard at work again this year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Always a plus. We're very fortunate to have everything that they do, and just a lot of positive things for our kids. So absolutely wonderful.
Talking with David Seuss, the boys basketball coach at Carlinville. And, David, I know that boys basketball, Carlinville, it always confounds me that, I don't know, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to have the same, I don't know the word, enthusiasm's not the right word, but football, people get jacked up for it. I just don't feel like, at Carlinville, I just don't feel like the kids get that excited about basketball. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. That's just me looking from the outside.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you say that. We have kids it's sort of comical to me sometimes, because that's kind of the thing, you know, that everybody says. And then, like, I got kids in PE class that, hey, can we play basketball today and things? And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, it's just kind of odd, you know. No, we're trying to, you know, we hope that changes here over the next course of the next several years, and pushing down into our youth leagues and getting down into the first graders now, where we're starting out. You know, you got to build a foundation, and it's only as strong as your youth program and how you do it. So that's the idea. We're trying to do some positive things now with our youth kids, and hopefully it trickles up here. You know, you just got to keep remembering it's a process, and the process sometimes can be frustrating, but, you know, we believe in what we're doing, and hopefully at some point, you know, it translates into that changing some, and some people thinking that it's a little different. And it doesn't have to be taken away from football, because football is obviously outstanding, and we want that to be the case. But we think basketball can get there at some point as well. So,
well, you know, David, when you started coaching, you know, probably, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade, get things going. But you're like, now it's like first grade, or like, hey, 3 years old, let's get them going. But that's just how it is now.
It is, yeah. And it's nice. I mean, I'm not one at the youth levels that's not do or die or anything, but it's definitely something we want to at least give them an opportunity when they're young, and you know, kind of get them excited, like I said, about things and such. So,
and, you know, it's the numbers game, everybody battles it. But I know one thing, the kids that show out for you, they give it everything they have the entire way.
Yeah, we've had, you know, last year was a little bit of a struggle, and the fact that it was just from the get-go, it was kind of a circus and wasn't good. But, you know, we were really pleased that first year and getting things going the way we kind of wanted to do things. And, you know, we have a ton of great kids in the program that work really hard every day. Can't be more proud of the kids that we have out and the effort that they give. They do a great job every day.
And I know, David, the whole goal, you just want to get better each and every day. But as you go about that process, talk to me about the things you guys do to get those fundamentals installed, because it all starts with the fundamentals.
Oh, man. I mean, there can't be days without, you know, within what we do defensively. You know, we have a little pack drill that we run every day, kind of like a shell drill, you know, and things like that, and our ball handling stuff. You can't have practice every day without doing those little things. Otherwise, it doesn't work when you put it together. And, you know, for some people, it takes a lot of time out of what you're trying to do as far as getting into a game plan, but your game plan isn't very good if you don't start with the little stuff, and hopefully it leads to bigger stuff down the road. And, you know, that's the idea. And I just hope it pays off. So,
talk to me about some of the kids that are going to be key contributors for you this year.
Oh, I tell you, we had some seniors that I feel like have been doing an outstanding job. You know, Aiden DeBerzy obviously comes in as our quarterback, which he is. You know, that translates right into basketball, which is huge for us. Aaron Wills is a kid that last year really took a step forward, and Aaron can be just a real beast sometimes. And then, you know, he just has to keep that on switch on all the time, and we just keep reminding him how good he can be. And sometimes I don't think he realizes, you know, some of his potential, but I think he's gonna be really strong. And then obviously we have some high hopes for some guys that can really shoot the ball. Ethan Siglock started shooting it really well last year, and Ryan Hart came on as a shooter last year. We have some guys that I think haven't got any varsity time, but you know, they may sneak up in there and try to steal some minutes and you know, help us out along the way, that are kind of the guys behind the scenes and the silent, you know, guys that nobody, their name's not in the paper, but they're you know, they work hard every day, and they're gonna help us. So,
and you know, David, you're not gonna get really out athleted. No shortage of athletes.
Typically, yeah. I mean, we typically do have some kids that can, you know, really really get after it on the athletic side. You know, one other kid that really, and I don't want to say anything, Mason Duckle's the kid I expected really big things out of, and we unfortunately probably won't see him until after Christmas at this point. We went down at practice last week, but he's another kid that, speaking of athletes, I mean, he just has that, you know, kind of it factor of with Aiden and some of those other guys, and Carson Weiser, you know, some guys like that that just kind of, they can kind of out-athlete you sometimes. We're hopeful that some of those guys are back and productive, and we can get some good things out of them.
Nothing probably gets a pit in the coach's stomach like an injury in practice.
that's been kind of one of those things that you know, it can derail things quick in basketball, being so, you know, only five guys on the floor, and you know, one kid can really get you sometimes. But like I said, we've had some other guys step in, and I'm excited about those guys getting opportunities. Sometimes, you know, there's kids that could get opportunities that don't because of other kids, and it's fun to see those guys kind of get in there and show you what they can do.
Hey, that's the beauty of sports. You never know. Give somebody an opportunity, and they just might get it done. David, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and we look forward to following you throughout the year.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, David Suits, the head boys basketball coach at Carlinville High School. You know, Sean, that's just it right there. It doesn't matter what the sport is, what the level is. One person's injury is another person's opportunity.
No doubt about it. And, yeah, I mean, teams can grow from the experience. All of a sudden you've got a better bench. I mean, there are just so many ways that it can work out. So certainly a negative for the individual, but, could be the best for the group in the long term. You know, it's strange how the life of the sports life works out, but – so many great tales in that regard.
So all sorts of basketball happening today. Hillsboro and Nokomis will both be in Carlisle for the Kaskaskia Classic. The Toppers will take on Woodlawn at 3. Nokomis and Greenville will square off at 6. The Litchfield boys back down at Waterloo. They'll be played at Jabot High School. They'll take on Freeburg at 6:45. And then at the Bergschneider Turkey Tournament in New Berlin, Lincolnwood going to play for fifth place against Triopia at 4:30. North Mac will play New Berlin for third place at 6 o'clock. Your championship game is Route and Macon Meridian slated for a 7:30 start. Girls basketball today, the Litchfield Turkey Tournament continues. 1 o'clock, Litchfield Southwestern. 2 o'clock, Nokomis and Staunton. And then at the Taylorville Tournament, Hillsboro going to take on Taylorville. That game set for 6:30. And, Sean, today will mark officially the end of the fall sports season as the last four football state championships will be handed out up in DeKalb. And yesterday, Lena Winslow beat Carrollton in the 1A championship. Wilmington knocked off Nashville in the 2A title. Byron over Tolono Unity in the 3A championship. And then Joliet Catholic beat SHG for the 4A title yesterday. But I'm my own R&D department, so that can be risky. So take it for what it's worth. But by my calculations, Wilmington will be the only school to have the undefeated calendar year. I started thinking about that last spring. Like, will anybody go undefeated in the spring and then have an undefeated state championship? By my figuring, Wilmington will be the only school to do it, your 2A state champion. That's quite a feat, and I'm putting that on the ring and on the banner. I'm not 14-0, I'm 19-0.
I guess the Gemini Giant is good luck.
Yes.
The Route 66 legend, you know, the green spaceman, for those familiar.
You never cease to amaze me, Sean.
You're
like the Rolodex. It just keeps on going. Information just spitting out. It's amazing. Truly amazing.
You know, just a transient, I guess. A drifter.
The 5A championship.
Or a Kerouac, if we want to glorify.
If we want to glorify, yes. Kankakee and Oak Park Fenwick, that's the 5A title game that's underway right now. The 6A championship is East St. Louis against Cary Grove. That's your last two 6A champions there. 7A title, Chicago, St. Rita, and Wheaton North. The 8A championship, Lockport Township and Park Ridge, Maine South, as the fall season gets a bow put on it today. Of course, the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer coming up 2 weeks from today, Saturday, December 11th in Nokomis. We look forward to seeing you there. All the money to the Montgomery County Cancer Association. Thanks to Kyle McBrain, Dan DeWerp, David Suits for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. Fighting Illini football for you this afternoon, hosting Northwestern 1:30 with the pregame on 105.3 of the Ox. And Sean, Monday, Big Ten ACC Challenge, as Illinois will take on Notre Dame in college hoops in the Big Ten ACC Challenge on Monday night. Sean, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
All right, my friend.
All right. For Jennifer Graham and Sean Belent, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.